Title of this message is Influence. So last week when Rusty was preaching, he had mentioned the word influence. I want to give you a quick definition. You guys know what this is, but I just wanted to really break it down for you. It is the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, or behavior of someone. Okay, so I told you earlier to be thinking about a testimony, because I've done this before where we did good things. You know, if you've ever been here, I've done this a couple of times. People were able to give a testimony about a good thing that happened. Well, I guess this is kind of like good things. I do this in class sometimes where before I start class, I'll just say, all right, good things. Anybody, you know, oh, we went fishing last week, or, you know, hey, I won an award somewhere, or hey, we won our baseball game or whatever. But this is about the word influence. And I want you to tell me, and I'll go around real quick. I won't spend a lot of time on this. I can't do everybody, but I want you to tell me of a time, and I'm going to hold the mic. Don't take the mic from me. You don't have permission to do that. But make it quick. If it's a long story, try to shorten it, okay? But I want to hear of either stories or testimonies of you influencing people in a positive way, or you know of some amazing situation that happened because somebody else influenced that person in a positive way, okay? So I want to hear those testimonies. But yeah, let me get to that. Let me just go to that. So is anybody in here? Everybody scared to talk? No, please don't tell me everybody's scared to talk. Okay, got one here at the back. Can you come halfway down? Can you meet me? Y'all try to meet me part way if you can. Okay, it's the red one. It's Joni's, so okay.
Well, before I came to this church, I knew about God. I believed in God, but I never got to the point where I am today. If it wasn't for a great man who brought me to this church, Ryan Schultz.
Amen. Oh, you're still going? I'm sorry. That's it. That man right there. So somebody positively influenced him. So you can do that too. Yep. Okay. You don't have to meet me halfway. I'm fast. I'll get there. Yeah, no, that's fine.
This was a number of years ago. Jim and I were senior high youth advisors at our church. And a young lady that started coming found out that she didn't have a healthy living condition at home. And Jim spent a lot of time counseling her and convinced her to go into the military, which she did, and she became a chaplain in the military.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, good, good. See there, just a few words from the right person and change your life. Who's next? Anybody? I said I could do a few. Okay.
I was in the grocery store in Marble Falls one day, and the woman in front of me was digging in her purse and couldn't find her money. She had about a $50 grocery bill, and she was like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, I can do that. And I paid for her grocery bill, and the checker said, oh, that's a God thing. and it was.
Yeah, good. All right. Yeah. So sowing seed, right? Opportunity to sow finances into somebody. Been there, done that. That's fun.
I've been talking to Judy Stone for a couple of years about Christ and church and stuff like that. And I invited her to the Cowboy Church. And she came, and it wasn't shortly after that she gave her life to Christ, and then Amen. Shortly after that she got baptized.
Amen. Hallelujah. Saying the right thing to the right people.
I'm going to go with somebody who influenced me in high school. I was going through a really dark time, and somebody challenged me to start reading the Bible in exchange for me to challenge them to start exercising and be healthy. And that started my entire Christ walk, and I get to be here today thanks to her.
Thank God. Right people, right words.
I'm taking the mic.
No, you're not. I'm telling you, you're not touching the mic.
Well, there is, I love you too, Howdy. There's a man here in this church that has had such a significant influence in my husband's life. Yeah. And I just want to tell that junior high teacher, thank you.
You're welcome. I love you guys. I love y'all. Okay.
So I work doing deliveries and all that, and every now and then I'll get some tips, you know, as mm-hmm. doing good work or whatever. But I had a lady at the store, and she was doing some struggling, and I just pulled out one of the tips that I had, and she's like, I know you didn't have that this morning. I said, yeah, it was a tip. And she says, and I said, but you know, I said, I didn't have it this morning, so I didn't miss it.
Right.
I said, so I'm not going to miss it now. And she was like, that's a strange thing to say. I said, but, you know, it's true. I didn't have it. I don't miss it. You know, so why should I miss it now? It's yours. Be blessed.
Exactly. Guys, that's the tithes and offerings. If you're able to walk away from money, just like he said, he's not going to miss it. He didn't have it that morning, but he had it then. But he could not have had it, but he ended up sowing it. When you walk away from money, God will bring you money, I'm telling you. Who else? Anybody else? Do I need to get to the message? Okay. I won't go too many more here.
Okay, I was on my way to Oklahoma a couple of weeks ago, and I stopped. I was going to stop at two different places before I stopped at this one convenience store, but I figured out why. When I went into the restroom, there was a lady there that was having a seizure. And her daughter was on the phone with EMS, and I could hear her just being so, distraught over her mother having this seizure. And so I got out of the restroom, and I asked her, I said, can I pray with her? And she said, yes. And so I said, okay. I didn't know what to say. Like, of course, I'm, shaking because I have never done that before in public, and so I prayed with her. The seizure stopped. We were able to get her seated into the wheelchair. And then her granddaughter, who was also crying in her uniform, said to me, she said, thank you. And I said, it looks like you're getting ready to go to softball. And she said, yeah, I have a game, but I'm worried about my grandma. And I said, well, don't worry about your grandma. She's going to be okay. And the grandma said, yes, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Yep. Okay. Let's see. It's 11:27. I'm going to go with the last one right here.
I just am very thankful for my brother John, who was born very young in life, born again. And he ministered to me about Jesus for 10 years before I was born again.
Wow.
10 years. And just that was 40 years ago.
Golly, that's amazing. Guys, there have been people come to this church, and I'm not kidding when I say this, there have people that have come to this church that have been out of church for 30 or 40 years. To spend 10 years on you, that's some time. I mean, that's a lot of devoted time to devote to somebody and to beat you up with the Jesus stick but still not beat you up, right? Dude, you got to get saved. You got to go to church, you know. Sometimes that's not always easy because the person that you're talking to sometimes isn't always very receptive. And a lot of times if they get tired of hearing it, they'll cut you off and you'll never hear from them again. But you have to have a receptive heart like that man right there. You've got to be willing to receive, okay? So influence, okay? So you heard, I wish I could have spent a whole, I wish we had 2 hours here, but I could have gone through every, because I love to hear testimonies, and if you know, we love to hear them, even, you know, whether we're not passing around the mic in the service, we love to hear your testimonies after church about, you know, hey, I got a new job, or hey, my business is doing great, or hey, you know, I got a promotion or whatever. Influence, what Ricky said last week, and it wasn't about the furries, but he had mentioned the area of influence is to stop confusion. That is what influence is for. Think about your kids who are confused. Maybe you got kids that are confused about, you know, what way to handle a situation, or maybe they dealt with something during the week. Maybe they got people that don't like them. You know, the way that you help people get through things is you stop the confusion. Because when people come to you asking for advice, they're confused, or they're not sure of which way to go, which situation. Well, do I do this or do I do this? Influence has the ability to change people's lives. And I'm talking, 10 years? Influencing somebody for 10 years takes work, my friends. It takes knowing how to hear from the Holy Spirit on what to say and also when to say it. Because when somebody, Corey told me this one time, he said, you know, you may never have an open door, but I'm telling you, if somebody ever comes to you and asks you a question, that's the door. That's when you get to say, okay, here's what I would do. That's the open door. A lot of times those doors are not open, and if you try to push those doors open, he didn't run off, but some people will. When you try to push a door open that's not ready to be opened yet, and you don't have the key to it yet, a lot of times you can lose that person. Influence is the ability to stop the confusion. And Ricky preached on light a couple of weeks ago. Guys, that's what influence is. It's what Jesus told us to be. He told us to go ye into all the world. He also told us to be the light. My friends, everybody on this planet knows that walking in darkness is not much fun. Walking in light is the easiest way to go. It shows you the right path. Then there's no confusion. It shows you what direction to go so that you don't have to think about which direction to go. The confusion ceases when you walk in the light, or you teach somebody else how to walk in the light. I'm going to go through a few scriptures here, and then I'm going to give you a testimony of mine here at the end. I've got 30 minutes, and I've got a testimony that's just amazing. What I have seen in the past school year from August till now. I'll get to it here in a second. Okay, Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to give you some scriptures that I have researched about influence. I'm going to be in the Message Bible, also the Amplified Bible. I got to find it here. I don't have a Message Bible. It's all on my phone. Verse 38. Verse 38 says, and he that take not his cross and follow after me, so this is the King James, is not worthy of me. So what he's saying here is, hey, you know, taking up your cross. He didn't say, you know, pick up your wealth and follow me. He said, take up your cross. Well, what was the cross? It was everything that shame had to do with. The cross was everything that was wrong with the world. You messed up. You committed murder, or you, in this case, you know, Jesus, you didn't do anything wrong. But the cross was the ultimate shame. You were put on a main road, up on a hill where everybody could see you, stripped naked. I mean, it's the ultimate shame. You have to be willing to be with God, whether it's great or bad. Picking up your cross daily will teach you how much fun it is to walk in prosperity. Amen? Because if you can pick up the cross and deal with all the negative stuff, all the fun stuff just gets funner. Amen? He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And I had to look at the Amplified. It says, if your first concern is to look after yourself, you will never find it. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you will find both yourself and me. Some of you might be struggling with, and I've dealt with this too, being a teacher. I'm telling you, being with the kids is fun, but sometimes you don't want to be with the kids all the time, amen? Especially when there's 120 of them. In order to find yourself, you should find God first. If you can find God first, He will show you who you are second. If you're struggling with what direction to go in life, maybe it's a job, or maybe it's which church to go to, or, you know, is Jesus really real? Should I believe this stuff? Maybe some people, you know, there's people that sometimes are listening that their spouse goes to church, but they don't. Their spouse doesn't want to go to church. They believe, or some of them don't believe at all, and then there's some that do believe, they just don't want to go to church. Because going to church, you know, that's kind of cheesy, and, you know, what are we going to do? We're just going to sit there an hour and a half. We're going to go eat after, after church. We're going to go eat lunch somewhere. We're going to come back home. And what am I going to profit from it? See, that type of person is always looking for something that benefits them. You have to release yourself, find Jesus, and he will help you find yourself. When you're struggling with an identity or struggling with who you are or what job you're supposed to go after, it's because you haven't found Christ yet. You know who he is, but you don't really know who he is. You don't understand the love part, the glory part, the walking in righteousness part. Learn how to love your neighbor and also love your fellow employees. Amen? Love your boss. Don't get involved in those conversations about boss man, because boss man's the only man that can promote you. You may not like him, but he's the only guy that can move you up. Try to walk in love in those situations. So stop focusing on yourself. Verse 40. He who receives and welcomes you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Okay, now the Amplified, I read something different in here. Okay, watch this. Now, when I'm thinking about, okay, let's think about work. Let's think about a job. Okay, I want you to think about a job for a second. Okay? We are, verse 40, the Message Bible says this. We are intimately linked in the harvest work. Okay? If you watch Myron Golden, anybody ever heard of Myron Golden? He talks about wealth. He's a guy, he wrote several books. I've just started reading about this guy or listening to his YouTube. But he talks about, in order to be prosperous in life, you have to learn how to work with others. If all you want to do is work with yourself, then you're always just going to have yourself. Rich people will tell you that you cannot get ahead without the help of others. You have to be willing to work with other people. I know some of you have been burned in the past. Maybe you've worked with people you don't like, and you're like, you're the type that doesn't want to submit yourself or open yourself up to other people that you work with because you're afraid you're going to get burned again because they said something about you to the boss. They said, oh, he's just a brown noser. Oh, he's just trying to get ahead, or he's just trying to do this, trying to do that. And it's closed you off into a person that doesn't want to work with others. If you're a business owner, you have to work with others. If you're going to be the guy that owns the business and digs the trenches, you're going to be tired. All business people want to hire somebody to do something that they don't want to do. A to the men on that. You can't run the business, hire people, take phone calls, and dig the trenches at the same time. Business people have to have people supporting them. We are intimately linked in the harvest work. And one of the things that Myron Golden says is that you have to be an effective communicator. Oh my gosh. I mean, does that speak to anybody? Have you ever thought, you know, I'm not one of those that can stand up and talk in front of people. What if Jesus would have said that? What if Jesus would have said, you know what? You know, that's a lot of people out there. I don't know if we have enough food here to feed all 5,000 of them, and I don't know if I want to stand here and talk about the Beatitudes. I get kind of nervous talking in front of people. Effective communication does not always mean that you're a preacher or somebody that stands on a stage. You have to be an effective communicator to work with people in your job. If people don't know what you're thinking, how are they supposed to know? Don't be one of those who says, well, he just should have known because I had kind of told him a few times already this week. No, you didn't let your yes be yes and your no be no. You have got to be an effective communicator to be successful in life. We are intimately linked in the harvest work. What happens if nobody would ever call Corey to come out and minister? Think about all the people that have been saved under his ministry. Communication is essential. And if you don't, and this is what I always tell people, because I have kids at my school that don't know how to talk up, if you know what I mean. Like they say, yeah, and bruh. I'm like, what the heck is bruh? What's bussing? And what's lit? And all? I mean, I don't know. Some of these terms, the word was called cool when I was growing up. Awesome. And, you know, stuff like that. But some kids don't know how to talk up. Like, yes, sir. And no, sir. Because they're always, they think they can talk to you on the same level. I'm not on your level, dude. I am up here and you're down there and you talk up to me. When you get above me or level with me, then you can call me bruh. Okay, but right now I am not bruh. So, I wish y'all could spend a day with me, just one day. So that's the job part. Harvest work could mean your job or business. How are you influencing others? How do you influence the people you work around? How are they influencing you? And yes, you do have to learn how to let things go in one ear and out the other. But sometimes you got to let them go in one ear and stick. Amen? You know, when I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about mentors. And when I think about Corey and, who was talking about that this week? Perry Stone. Perry Stone was talking about a situation where a guy in his church wanted to be the janitor so he could hang around Perry Stone all day and talk to him for 3 to 4 hours. He said, number one, if you're a janitor, you're not hanging around me. Number two, I don't have 3 to 4 hours to talk all day. So here's the thing you need to learn about mentors, okay? And I've learned this. Now, I had the privilege of getting to work around my mentor in the ministry for 12 years. I was around him every day. There was days I wasn't around him. Okay? This is what you need to know about mentors. You will always need, you've heard me preach on this, you will always need somebody that knows something that you don't know. If you want to make your life easier and your job easier, find somebody who's already done it that can tell you how not to do it. Amen? Mentors, okay? Now listen to this. Mentors don't have to talk to you in order for you to learn something. Influence is not always about what you're saying. Sometimes it's about what you're doing. Influence is not just words. You know, sitting down at a table. Okay, I'm your mentor, you're the protege, let me tell you blah, blah, blah. Let's sit here and talk for 3 hours and I'll tell you how to run a ministry. I wouldn't want to sit there that long, first of all. So what was great with Corey is I got to learn on the fly. And he's an on-the-fly person. If you know Corey, he's on the fly. Okay? So I didn't always have time to sit down and talk. But I can guarantee if I messed up, he would correct me. Those are words that should go in and stick, not go in and out the other side. Mentors, and it was amazing. I was watching Myron Golden the other day. There was a lady out in the audience that got a mic. She was talking. She said, you're my mentor and you don't even know it. Does she have direct access to him? No. But she listens to his YouTube channel and learns and lets the words come in and stick. In her case, he's a mentor to her in that way. Mentors don't have to be sitting with you and talking to you to be a mentor. Watch what they say, watch what they do with other people. You can watch them handle a totally different situation that you can learn from. And you'll be like, man, I never thought of it that way. Or I'll never do that. You can be over here on the outside looking in and totally see how you should operate in a situation. Man, that's good stuff. I was like, wow, that's exciting. Okay, verse 42. And whoever gives to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now, the word I got on this is, cold water to somebody doesn't always mean that that person is thirsty. Sometimes the cold water is just a word in due season. And what he's saying here is, whenever you're giving somebody something, just remember to do it in my name. Give that person, now if somebody's thirsty, of course. Now, are we talking about thirsty people? How many people are walking down the streets? Even in New York, other than the homeless people, hey, you know, can you give me a drink of water? I never heard that. So is it talking about people that are always thirsty? No. He's talking about a word in due season. Sometimes people are going to need to hear, through your influence, a word in due season. You're going to be the cold water that gives somebody that is thirsting for knowledge. They're thirsty for something that they don't know, and they're wanting somebody. I mean, I think everybody in here would say, I would love to have 30 minutes with Donald Trump on how to invest in real estate. Am I thirsty for water? No, I'm thirsty for knowledge. I'm thirsty for something that I don't know. What is it that you can tell me that I don't know that I can get started with right now that can start making me money right now in real estate? Everybody would want that opportunity. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to try to hustle up here a little bit. Second Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12, blah, blah, blah. Where is it? He said, this is our reason, Amplified says, for a proud confidence. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world in general, and especially toward you in pure motives and godly sincerity, not in human wisdom, but in the grace of God. Verse 13, for we write you nothing other than what you read and understand. There is no double meaning in what we say. So he said, I'm not trying to trick you or give you some fancy words. What you're reading is exactly what I'm trying to say. He said, and I hope you will accurately understand divine things until the end, just as you have already partially understood us and one day will recognize that you can be proud of us just as if we are, proud of you, as we are proud of you. Y'all all know that influence makes you proud. Makes that man proud right there that he was able to influence one of our ushers. Makes a man proud that influenced you for 10 years. Makes you proud when you see somebody, when you talk to somebody or you influence them or you give them thoughts that they need or you're positive or maybe you just help them financially and then all of a sudden you see them turn around and turn into something else. I have a kid at my school right now, and I'm not naming names, but I have a kid at my school right now since August. Now, actually, let's go back a whole year. Let's go back a whole year to star testing last year. I had an experience with this kid, and I knew what this kid was going to be like. Well, guess what? I was right, and I have him in class. He's had, 30-some-odd write-ups, been in trouble. I mean, that's just the ones where they've wrote him up. I probably could have added 30 or 60 of those myself. Always in trouble. Good kid, but you can tell there's a little bit of deception in there. So the other day, a month ago, he gets sent off to what we call Leo. They have to go away to a different school. They have to go to a school that says, hey, you got to sit down, shut up, do your work. You don't get to talk. You don't get to do anything. I'll let you. It's like a prisoner. I'll take you out and lunge you for 30 minutes after we're done here. You get to go out and outside and stare at the grass and the birds, and then 30 minutes later, we come back in, you're going to get to work again. He goes off, comes back. Good kid. I said, you still owe me some native species journal entries here. So I was like, okay, he's doing good. So I said, all right, you're going to come up here, you're going to get them done. You can't do anything else in this class till you do those. He gets up there, eventually gets them done. Man, I'm proud of you. Good job. Week later, toilet paper's the bathroom. You know what was really cool about that conversation? I said, back up a little bit. He's been outside, during athletics. I make him do something totally different. He don't get to lift weights because the weight room's a privilege. So he's outside doing something else. I said, you're going to be outside there until I see a difference in your behavior, attitude, etc. Well, it hasn't changed in a month and a half. So I send him back out there. He gets sent to ISS again. I send him back out there. I said, if you just act right and quit toilet paper in bathrooms. And he goes, Coach, I only did a quarter of it. And my mind immediately went to, what? How do you figure that you only, was there four rolls of toilet paper and you only took one and threw it in the toilet? I'm like, he loves math so much, he's not only doing it in the classroom, he's doing it in the bathroom. How do you figure doing a quarter of the bathroom in toilet paper? Did you lay out four rolls and say, okay, I'll take this one, and you take those three? It's like, you've got to be kidding me. That's your justification? That'd be like robbing a bank and say, I only took 500, the other guys took 10,000. Why are you yelling at me? I only took a few hundred.
Oh, my God.
Just go over there. Go over there. And then he comes to me like, my legs hurt, coach. I said, you put yourself in this situation, not me. I didn't put you out here. You did. But only did a quarter of the bathroom. Maybe you should only have to come to school for a quarter of the day. Maybe I should only have to come to school a quarter of the day. Maybe I should toilet paper a bathroom and sit in ISS. I wouldn't have to go to the classroom every day. I'd just sit in ISS all day. Lord have mercy. Okay, so if I was to preach this fast, because I got to get to my little testimonies of some really cool things that have happened to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 10 talks about details. It talks about hanging in there through all the thick and thin, through the bad and the good. You're going to have to read them on your own sometime. But it talks about details. Details matter. Okay? If you talk about details, details always have something to do with something little, right? Details are not the big things. Details are all the little things that led up to the big thing. So when I say that details matter, if you read through those verses, it talks about, you know, hanging in there. We've been persecuted, but we've also been had our, you know, backs patted. We've been congratulated. Good job, you know. There's been some good times. There's been some bad times, but the details matter. You hung in there no matter how bad it was. You hung in there even when it was bad. You got to experience all the great things. So you get the reward after the struggle. So details matter. 2 Thessalonians, I want to read one scripture. Or a couple of scriptures to you right quick, and then I'll move on to my testimony that I've got. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, it was to this end that he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain and share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold tightly to the traditions. Now, does that talk about religion? Like we need to stand firm on our religion? No. It's standing firm on the Word of God and what you know about God and the walking in righteousness and all of those things, which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort, encouragement, and the good, well-founded hope of salvation by his grace. Verse 17, watch this. Comfort and encourage and strengthen your hearts. Keep them steadfast and on course in every good work and word. What did I get revelation-wise? What did I get right here? Word and work. What are those? Things you do, things you say. Things that you do and things that you say. Word and work. That's the good part about being a good influence. That's how you influence people. Okay, now, I'm going to tell you my testimony. And no, this is not me patting myself on the back. I got Teacher of the Month this year, or this last month. Yeah? That's what I'm talking about. I would never do this in pride, I guarantee you. I give all the glory to God. It is Him influencing me that causes me to influence others. And yes, there has been many a time I wanted to walk away. And I'm still not saying I won't, but right now, that's where I am. So I got Teacher of the Month, and I was totally surprised. We're sitting in a teacher meeting on the work day that we had last Friday, and I had no idea. She started talking about things that I did, and I was like, they're talking about me, you know? So, you know, you get this little thing that you can put in your yard, says Teacher of the Month. I'm sure y'all have seen them, but it kind of started with, I don't know if y'all heard of the kid that committed suicide at the high school about a month ago or whatever, and it was just actually a few weeks ago. And then I say this is an opportunity. It's not really an opportunity of going to a new level or something, but I was asked by the principal, and God bless our principal, and she keeps God in that school the best she can, because there's a lot of situations where she's like, you know, but she tries to keep God in school as best she can. She asked me to, because I'm an ag teacher, intro to ag teacher. She said, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of kids here at this junior, because I have the kid that committed suicide, I have his sister in class. And she's nothing like him. Like, she was like, she's la 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 la, you know, bah, you know, just, you know, you could have a 3-hour conversation with her about anything. But it was, and I had the kid that committed suicide. I'd had him in class a couple years ago. Maybe it was last year. I couldn't remember how old he was, but he's a sophomore or a freshman. But I'd had him in class. I had him in sports, you know, and all that. But the principal had asked me, she said, can you be a counselor for a day? And I was like, absolutely. And and everybody in that situation, if you're a Christian, you know you would have done the same thing. Take advantage of an opportunity to preach Jesus to kids. Now, did I get to slap them with a Jesus stick while they're sitting there crying? No. But you can bet I mentioned God, and you can bet I mentioned going to church. And finding somebody that they can confide in, because, you know, you can't get a whole lot of that done in school, but I got to do that for a day, and it was an honor. So I was just honored that she asked me. So, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, that was a bad situation. It was an opportunity for me to minister, but it was a bad situation. I'll tell you a testimony right quick. I have a kid in my class, a girl. She is a girl, okay? Not a man. I won't name names, but the first of the year, I always try to figure out the names of these kids, and I had to write. There's been so many amazing things in the past month and a half with this girl that have just been, wow, I wish you could come here and tell your testimony, but for the sake of confidentiality, I can't name names or whatever, but I can tell you the conversations we've had, and I had to write them down. There's so many of them, so many good things. So this girl, at the first year, I always try to get to know my kids. You know, I've got 120 of them. I got 25, 30 of them in class. I've got to know who they are. I've never seen these kids. I had a kid in that weight room the other day. I said, who is that kid? They go, oh, yeah, he just plays football. I was like, I haven't seen that kid ever. There's so many kids in our school. But this one kid in my class, she wanted me to call her by a different name. Well, the name she gave me was a name that could be a boy or a girl. I was like, you know, I know what she's trying to do here because I know who she is and, you know, how she, you know, just by watching her act and who she hangs around with, I know what she's trying to do. She's wanting to be called by a different name, you know, and it's trying to identify as something else. And I said, you know what, I'll pacify this. It's okay. Now, if she wanted me to call her a different name, like a manly name, I'd have said, you know, I'd have had to address that. But I said, okay. So, first of the year, she asked for a name to be called, so I called her that name. Or I would, most of the time I call kids by their last name anyway, so it didn't really matter. I never call her that name anyway. So she comes up to me about a month and a half ago. So this, you know, this is August. She tells me, hey, can you call me this? Sure. A month and a half ago, she comes up to me and wants me to call her a man name. And I looked at her, and I was sitting in my chair, and I said, absolutely not. And she, you know what she said to me? She said, I didn't think you would. You know why? Because I've kind of thrown some seeds out there that I am a minister, I am, you know, at a church, I do throw some Jesus out there every now and then with kids. So she knew, she's been watching me since August. So I've had somewhat of an influence. So she wanted me to call her this man name, and I said, absolutely not. And I said, just like that. She goes, I didn't think you would. So she was a little bit nervous to ask me, and I can understand why. When you're trying to be something that you're not, and you're asking somebody to call you something that you're not, it can be confusing. So she had a bad relationship with her father. You know, there's some testimony there that I can't really go into. And I said, well, you can't let your past define you. So I just kind of had a short opportunity. This is an open door, friends. This is an open door. If she's coming to me asking me to do something, I'm gonna either set her straight or I'm going to pacify it for a little while until I'm asked to do something that's just ridiculous. And I said, you can't let your past define you. I said, you should still honor your father and your mother no matter what. I don't care what the situation is. You honor, because she has a, you know, blended family. So, and I had, you know, I said, well, you know, what you're doing here is you're creating confusion. You want to go by this name, now you're wanting to change it to another name. I said, you're just creating confusion. I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm going to call you by your name that you've already given me, or I'm going to call you by your last name. She goes, I understand, no big deal. I said, you came up with the first name. Why are we trying to change it? It was your responsibility. You wanted to change your name in the first place. Why didn't you think of it then? So, a few weeks later, I have a conversation with this girl for the whole class period. The whole class period is 45 minutes. She said, I went to church for the first time in a long time the other day. Now, if you know anything about this church, you know we've had homosexuals go to church here. That they didn't say anything out, but I'm telling you, Corey would pound that spirit in the face. And that guy moved off and got his life straight. And he moved to California, of all places. So I talked the whole period with her about church and Jesus, and she said she had some issues, and I said, you dang right you do. You said, you remember when you tried to tell me to change your name? She goes, oh, thanks, coach. I said, you know, I whammed her, and then I was like, hey, you know, I'm just trying to help you. You know, this is, you're creating confusion. You need to get this right. So I, you know, if you'll learn something about Corey, when Corey corrects you, he always builds you up when he's done smashing you. And he tells you, am I right? He'll tell you, hey, you need to do this. You know, you didn't do this right. You know, you need to fix this. And then at the end, because I've sat in those conversations. I've had those conversations with people. And at the end, he says, you know what? You're a great man. You're a great woman. I know you can do this. You're a positive influence in here. But I just need you to fix this. So anyway, so we talked the whole period about Jesus. And I said, you need to quit trying to create confusion and change your name. Now watch this. A few weeks later, she said she wanted to be a woman again. Now watch this. This is what happens. I'm talking about influence here. I said, I'm trying to look through my notes here. She said she wanted to be a woman again. She asked if she could be called by her original name that she made up. I said, that's fine. I said, but I'm going to probably call you by your last name anyway. She said, yeah, that's fine. I said, so why the flip-flopping? That's a good question for someone like that, right? Why the flip-flopping? You know what she told me? She said, someone told me I look pretty as a girl. One sentence, and it was probably from another girl, okay? I mean, I'm not saying one thing or the other. I just know who she is, who she hangs around. She said, someone told me I look pretty as a girl. I said, that is so awesome. I'm so proud of you. That's great. And I always tell her I'm proud of her, you know, because things like that are amazing. Amen? To go from I want to be called this to be called that, and I'm back to this now. And I said, I'm proud of you. Good job. Another few weeks goes by. She said, she's having a quinceañera, you know, whenever, I don't know the quinceañeras. I'm not in all that. I don't know when they do them. It's like 15 or 16 or whatever. She said, I'm getting baptized. She just comes up to me. She goes, I'm getting baptized at my quinceañera. I said, that's amazing. Now, we could go into all the details about, you know, is she really saved? I don't know, and I don't really care. The transition from the I want to be this to I'm now this and here's what I'm doing about it is an amazing transformation. And I'm not so sure I would have ever had any of those conversations with her if I wouldn't have finally told her, hey, I am not calling you that. I don't care what you say, I am not calling you that because that's not who you are. There's got to be times when you take a stand on some things in life, and that was one of them. No, I'm not going to let you use the men's restroom. No, I'm not going to call you a man's name. That is not who you are. You are exactly who God designed you to be. Now, I can say that in so many roundabout terms, but that's what happened. And I was proud of her. I was so proud that, you know, she, from August to now, there has been a huge transformation. Whether she's saved or not, I'm not going to question that. The fact that she's going to church is the first step, and that's all that matters. And she's getting baptized. Does she understand baptism? I have no idea. I don't care. But I give all the glory to God. And one last thing, last testimony, and I'll close. Our principal, again, was talking about, you know, at the end of our meeting the other day, she goes, hey, has anybody ever given, you know, have any of y'all's kids ever given y'all flowers? And I'm like, yeah, actually, they have in the past couple of weeks. Well, she goes on and reads this thing and says, you know, when a kid chooses to come and pick, you know, and they're not the prettiest, most beautiful thing. They're just flowers that are out there in the ditches. She goes, when a kid stops and does that, that means they have actually thought about you before they ever picked the flower. Now, does that mean patting me on the back? No, it's not. But I was like, I got teacher of the month. Kids are bringing me flowers. Girls are transforming. I'm like, yes, I've got to talk about this. So I had told our principal, I said, man, you were preaching to me this morning. And I was like, no kids ever, I mean, maybe they have, I don't remember. I mean, there's teachers all the time that get little flowers. They'll bring a teacher a pencil or, you know, a card or what. That's the little old things to them. But the fact that they consider you is the most important part. That's where you can say, hey, I'm proud of what we read about earlier about being proud of someone. When you see somebody transform or transition from bad to good, which is me pounding, you know, that one kid saying, hey, quit toilet paper in the bathrooms, you're going to be out there forever. You know, you can't be buddies with your kids. You can be their friend, but you got to love them and be a parent first. Okay? You got to tell them when you don't, the things they don't want to hear, but you also got to tell them the things they do want to hear. You got to build them up, but sometimes you got to tear them down and remind them, hey, I'm dad and you're not. Right, kids? Amen? Kids are sitting at the back there. They are your friend, yes, but you're a parent first. So when I heard that testimony about, you know, when she had said, when a kid picks you flowers, it's because they thought of you. Because she's always doing little testimonies like that. And I was like, that's amazing. Because I don't remember kids bringing me flowers, but I had this water bottle with dirt and water in it and these flowers, and they keep fixing them. Every time they die, they just pull them out and put new ones in. So I told her, I said, you were preaching to me this morning. I am going to use this in my sermon this weekend. Thank you. And she goes, you know, thumbs up, you know. So I give all the glory to God. I give all the glory to Him with every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for Your mercy, Your grace. Thank You for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank You for loving us. If any of you are not saved, I know there wasn't a lot of visitors here, but if there's anybody in here that's not saved today, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We always like to do this at the end of a service because none of this stuff that we're talking about, nothing that's happening here this morning matters until you know that the ultimate goal in life is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All this other stuff doesn't matter. So if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to do one thing. We're not going to ask you to come to the front, not going to embarrass you, not in any way. We're just going to ask you to pray a prayer with us. And all we ask you to do is to get serious with God right now, pray this prayer with us, and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've already been saved, that's great. But if you're not, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and He's the only way to heaven, there's no alternative. If you've never received Him, pray this prayer and mean it. And we're going to pray it with you. And I believe that if you pray this prayer and you mean it, that you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's only two destinations. There's only one ticket, one key that opens the door to heaven for you, and that's Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just pray this prayer with us, we're going to just repeat after me. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive You, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior today in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you received Him for the very first time today by praying that prayer. All I want you to do on the count of three is just raise your hand and let me know that was you. By raising your hand, you're saying, yeah, that was me. I received Jesus for the very first time today. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three, go. Is there one? Or no? Okay. Is anybody in here? Anybody? Going once, going twice. Sold. Amen. All right. Y'all look at me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right.